Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise thy holy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it is wonderful to come here tonight and sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. We do have so much to thank God for. Amen. We have a wonderful privilege in knowing the Lord. You know, I know Sam's newsletter will be finished this by the weekend. But anyway, think of all those people who have no hope in this world and all these thinkings that are so contrary to God. And people that see no purpose in life and wish they had never been born. And you know, it goes on and on. But, you know, the Lord has intervened in our lives and he's given us a purpose. Oh, yes, we have a reason to live. And, oh, we have a God that goes before us and helps us. Oh, that makes a way. And we do have so much to thank him for. Oh, and it just begins here on this earth. It just begins because, oh, yes, one day we are going to be, oh, yes, by the grace of God, in that throng, in the heavenlies. Oh, yes, where the Lord is. And yes, that great throng of individuals who have overcome. Oh, yes, or who will forever be with the Lord. And, oh, my, we just could begin those songs of praises here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because the Lord has intervened in our lives, and we do have wonderful things to thank him for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, Wait, I Say on the Lord. And here shortly, I believe we're going to be going to Psalms 27. And I just want to make a remark here. You know, most of the early Psalms here are written by David. David the king, David the psalmist, David the shepherd boy, whatever you want to call him. But you know, you can tell when you read these Psalms that he fought many, many battles. And, you know, you can tell that not only did he fight battles, but he knew what it was like to give everything over to the Lord. He knew what it was like to wait on the Lord, to come through and intervene and make a difference, to answer whatever the need was. And, you know, he was in dire straits at times. But how the Lord helped him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, you know, he learned, oh, yes, to meditate upon the Lord. And, oh, yes, to think upon the good things of God, obviously. I believe that was something he learned there as a shepherd boy, watching the sheep. And, oh, yes, with that harp that, you know, the talent that the Lord gave him to play. And you know, I believe, as he played that harp, he was worshiping the Lord. And, oh, yes, there was something deep that came within. And, you know, easily could be that while he's playing that harp, a lot of times he was fighting spiritual battles. Oh, yes. Because, oh, my, this life is full of battles. You know, without God, how could we even survive? We often ask, how do people live without the Lord? But praise the Lord, with God, we have a strength that he gives us and an enablement and a power and an ability that only he can give. And oh my, it's just so wonderful to know that we can give our problems, our situations over to the Lord and know that he knows how to intervene in our lives. He knows how to help us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. He knows our dire needs. And praise the Lord, how he helps us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word wait in the Hebrew comes from the word kava. And, you know, it's got an interesting meaning. It means to bind together. And also it has a connotation to expect. And together, as together, together. And also it has a connotation to look patiently and tarry. And yes, to wait for, on, or upon. But all these meanings come here with the word wait, as it is used in the scripture here. And I can't help but think, we just sang about Pentecost, and as I think about this waiting, this expectation, as it is one of the definitions, brings out that expectancy, or that gathering together in hopes, it does remind me of the day of Pentecost, praise the Lord, when, yes, they were gathered together, and they were expecting, they were waiting. Oh, yes, and there was something that they were looking for. They didn't know how it was going to fall or when. Oh, yes, the way the Lord would come forth and bring forth His Spirit. But one thing they knew, it was promised. Oh, yes, because Jesus had told them before He ascended, as it tells us in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Praise the Lord. And yes, those that followed Jesus, those that were His disciples, oh yes, they went to Jerusalem. And yes, we find them in the book of Acts there, first and second chapter. There they were. They were gathered together, waiting for the promise of the Father to fall upon them. And praise the Lord, they were not disappointed. Oh, praise the Lord, because we know that on the day of Pentecost, it came forth. Amen. Oh, yes. It was not the way they maybe imagined, but there they were. In one place, in one accord, praise the Lord. And suddenly, as Samuel just brought out, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, it sat upon each of them. And praise the Lord, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they tarried, they waited. And oh, yes, the Lord sent forth that promise. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know what? Life has never been the same again. If you've been endued, if you've been empowered with that power from on high, life is not the same after that. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Lord. Oh, in His wonderful ways, sent back His Spirit, that, oh yes, He might dwell inside His people. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Oh, our precious Lord, who did not leave us comfortless, but He came unto us. Oh, yes, to live inside our very being, to guide us, to direct us, oh, to show us things to come, to give us hope. Oh, yes, to give us overcoming strength, and to make us witnesses, to empower us. Oh, yes, with that dynamite power that He sent forth to His people so that we might be a light in this world and we might withstand the powers of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Great things happen when we wait upon the Lord. Oh, you just never quite know, but praise the Lord. Our God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, praise the Lord. And what He did at Pentecost, He is still doing today. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have great expectance that, oh, yes, the winds may blow again. Yes. Oh, yes, the Lord may pour out of His Spirit. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 27 here. Praise the Lord. It's a Psalm of David. Psalms chapter 27. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, you know, and again, I know David is talking from his heart. He doesn't have a theory out here that he's just trying to bring forth at the moment. No, he's talking about things that are real to him. Oh, he has bowed out. He's sampled. He knows that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he obviously knew it. And he could say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And you know, whom shall I fear? Praise the Lord. You know, that's a wonderful thought just right there. And we know in the 46th Psalm, oh yes, you know, he declared, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Again, he's talking from experience. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it sounds like the end of the world. You talk about the earth being removed, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and the waters roaring and be troubled. Mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That sounds like the end of the world. But yet he could declare, oh yes, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. And praise the Lord, we know that God is going to be the hope of his people. Praise the Lord, when he comes forth on that day, oh yes, while the world is falling apart, oh yes, the world is shaking and trembling, oh yes, as they see the Son of Man, the Son of God coming. Oh, yes, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord. God is going to be the hope of his people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he is going to be with his people. And so we can declare, as David declared, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Praise the Lord. Verse 2 here says in Psalms 27, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And here I believe when he said to eat up my flesh, I believe he's talking about their plan to destroy him, to kill him, to murder him, however you want to say it. And again, I know he's talking because he's been there. He's had opposition. He's had enemies. He knew what it was to fight. But he could say in verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Praise the Lord, he knew his God, and he knew that his God would be with him no matter what, and it had become a proven reality in his life. Oh, I know that verse always makes me think of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, and you know, just in brief there, you know, that story when the Syrians were coming after Israel, and for some reason, they would make plans and come to, you know, overwhelm them and overtake them. And they always would be prepared. And the king of Syria finally thought, something's wrong here. How is it they always know our plans? And they're always prepared and, you know, they're always able to duck us, in other words. And, you know, someone told him, well, there's a certain man there's among the Israelites who tells the king, you know, the plans. He just knows it, and he tells the king. He speaks it to the king in the bedchamber, and you know, this was Elisha, the prophet of God. And you know, after they realized that one man, somehow he knew what they were plotting and planning, you know, he would go tell the king. And, you know, they would make plans and escape, and, you know, things would go well for Israel. well, you know, the decision was made to go after one man, then, oh, we got to go get this old man, this Elisha who knows all of this. And you know how it was that they made plans to come and get Elisha. And what a day that must have been. Yes, they had discovered he was in Dothan. And oh, yes, what a day that must have been when they awakened that morning and the servant of Elisha looked outside and lo and behold, the city where they lived, it was surrounded with horses and chariots. And you know, the servant feared. How in the world? We're surrounded. There's Syrians all around us and many, many, many of them. And how in the world are we going to get out of here? But Elisha, he told him, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Praise the Lord. He had eyes of faith. And he prayed and he asked the Lord to open up the young man's eyes, the eyes of his servant. And God did so. And oh yes, when the young man could see with eyes of faith, he could see, oh yes, that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire, and they were round about Elisha. Oh, the Lord and his angels were encamped around them. Oh, yes, as they are to this day encamped around them that fear God. Praise the Lord. And oh, Elisha was able to pray that God would smite them with blindness. And God did it. No, they were able to direct those Syrians to the capital city, and oh yes, instead of destroying them all, they had them all sit down and they fed them a great feast. And the Lord used that. Oh yes, when their eyes were opened, they realized, oh yes, that they had been led by the very man they were after, Elisha, the prophet. They were led by Elisha. Oh yes, to the place where the king of Samaria was, the king of Israel in reality, midst of Samaria at this point. And praise the Lord used this incident so mightily that, oh yes, after they set bread and water before them that they could eat and drink and then go unto their master, that they never bothered again to come again after Elisha. Praise the Lord. But that's our mighty God. And if we can just have faith, there's nothing too hard for Him. Praise the Lord. So it says again here in Psalms 27, verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Oh, praise the Lord. And now David is going to tell us the very desire of his heart, the thing that was deep within. He says in verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, these are the thoughts that were in the heart of David. Oh, yes, that what he wanted most of all is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord all the days of his life. Oh, yes, and then that great desire to behold the beauty of the Lord. And yes, that privilege, that wonderful privilege of inquiring in his temple. Praise the Lord. That's what David had in his heart. Those were the things that were deep within. And you could see why God honored that. Because, oh yes, his heart was bent upon serving the Lord. That was foremost in his thoughts, and his desires were unto God. And so he could say in verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. a place of safety in the time of trouble. Praise the Lord, he knew that God would have a place for him, a place of safety, a pavilion, a secret place, even in the tabernacle where he could be hidden. Oh, yes, he knew his God, a place of safety. And he said in verse 6, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. And you know what? There is, such strength in praise. Oh, such strength when we come before the Lord and praise him with all our heart. And those sacrifices of joy, that is the fruit of our lips giving praises unto our God, as explained in Hebrews. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. He knew that his head would be lifted up above his enemies. He knew he would be delivered. He would be set free. He would be established no matter how hard the enemy tried to come against him and overtake him. Yet his God would deliver him. Oh, he knew his God. And he could say, "I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Oh, there's something wonderful about praising the Lord. Oh, even when you're down and out. Oh, even when there's trouble brewing. Even when you don't know the answers. Oh, you might be desperately sick. You might have desperate financial needs. You might, have somebody that's attacking you. Oh, God knows what the circumstances might be. But mighty things happen when we begin to praise the Lord, when we begin to exalt him. Oh, when we honor him, cry out to him, when we begin to sing praises unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Oh, he lives in those praises. If you could just praise him, oh yes, he'll fall. He'll send the Holy Ghost. He'll send deliverance. Oh yes, if you can just worship him with all your heart. Oh, forget about all the other things, because something else happens when we begin to worship God. We begin to forget about all the mundane things, all the troubles, all the trials, all the hardships, all the things that went wrong. We begin to forget about them. Praise the Lord, and the Lord begins to alter things. He begins to change things. He begins to work in a way that you never imagined. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle, in his dwelling place, sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, tomorrow is a day that we've set aside to give thanks. And yes, as Brother Samuel said, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. But praise the Lord, let's not forget to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let's not forget to praise him, to worship him, to let him have his way. Oh, yes, to give him the glory that he so deserves. Oh, we can lift up our voices and praise him. We can lift up our hands and worship him with all our hearts. Praise the Lord, we could give thanks unto God. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, again, he dwelleth, he inhabits the praises of his people. He lives in those praises. Oh, he told them then when he was coming into Jerusalem that last time there before they crucified him. Oh, yes, if these should hold their peace, even the very stones would cry out. Even the rocks would cry out. Oh, if they would be quiet, as some insisted, if they would not worship him, if those hosannas would have stopped. Oh, yes, it was going to be, even the rocks then would have cried out. Oh, yes, we need to praise the Lord. And again, mighty things happen when we praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it continues by saying in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Oh yes, those desperate cries. Oh yes, there are times, believe me, there is nobody else to turn to. Oh my. And I believe David knew it well. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, yes, oh, there is such a need to seek the Lord while he may be found. There is such a need to call upon him while he is near. Oh, yes, there is such a need. Oh, yes, for the wicked to mend their ways and the unrighteous man, oh, yes, to give way to his wicked thoughts and turn to the Lord, who promised that he would have mercy on him. Praise the Lord there from Isaiah 55. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 29. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see that principle laid down there. Oh, when you seek me, when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you. Oh, yes, have you got to that place where you have sought the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, with all your soul, with all your might? Oh, yes, have you got to that place? Yes, that's how God is found of you. Yes, when you search for him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it is. So when thou sayest in verse 8 again, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And you know, indeed, there are moments when there is no human being who can help you. Oh my, yes, there's no one else but the Lord that can help you. But praise the Lord, how he proves to be that very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, praise the Lord, the one that we can come to, the one that we can turn to, the one that we can give our heart, our allegiance to. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Oh, yes, because of mine enemies. Oh, yes, show me clearly. Let it be clear, Lord. Oh, yeah, teach me thy way. Put it deep down inside of me, Lord, so I don't go astray. Oh, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, yes, we want that word to be deep down inside. Oh, yes, so that we know what it says. Praise the Lord. And yes, the drawing power of the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us and to prompt us and to help us. Oh, yes, to know what we need to do and how we need to do it. Oh, yes, and to be taught of him, to be led in a plain path because of mine enemies. He says in verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Oh, yes, there's a cry for help that's coming forth from his being. Oh, he knew what it was like to have opposition. And I know, oh, yes, as individuals, as human beings, we know what it's like to have opposition. I know I prayed with some of you, and I know, yes, sometimes there's been dire straits. Oh, yes, there's been causes that rose up against you in opposition and things that, oh my, were, practically calamity. But, oh, praise the Lord, God knows how to deliver. He knows how to set things straight. He knows how to put down the opposition. Oh, he knows how to meet every need, no matter what it is. If it's a health issue, if it's a financial issue, if it's a custody battle. Oh, yes, if it's an enemy that has risen up, if it's opposition, a court case, God knows every need. And he knows how to help us and how to make a way. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, he hears those cries that come forth from the hearts of his people. And then he says, David says in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, praise the Lord, there was something that kept him going. There was a hope deep down in his soul that kept him going even when it seemed like he was being clobbered and overwhelmed and the battle was raging. Oh, yes, but he had hope in the Lord. Oh, yes, he believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He knew God could deliver him out of every strait, every difficulty, every problem, every need, every circumstance. Oh, by the grace of God. Oh, yes, he's saying, I have fainted. And that's the way it is. What would we do without our God? Oh, to intervene in our lives and to give us hope, to lead us, to guide us, to pick us up when we're, in great straits and ready to faint. And then this chapter ends. And this is where I've taken my message title tonight. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There are times, yes, when the opposition, when the battles, the need is so great. And there is literally none to help us. And we don't know, what to do. But, yes, we can lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, praise the Lord. We can look unto our God and know that he's able to deliver us, to set us free. And, yes, we wait for him. Oh, yes, as he's encouraging himself. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. It's no wonder that he could declare in Psalms, the 40th chapter. Oh, again, another Psalms of David. He's saying in verse 1, Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Praise the Lord, that patient waiting. Oh, sometimes, it might not be the snap of the moment that the Lord intervenes. He might, be seeing just what kind of determination we have deep down in our heart. Praise the Lord. So he's talking about waiting. Oh, with expectancy. Tearing, looking, waiting patiently for the Lord. And yes, God came through and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed is a man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we could just continue forever. That new song that he gives us, the song that the ransomed can sing. Because, God, if we've been delivered, out of the miry clay, out of sin, out of despair. If the Lord has given us hope, praise the Lord that He has put a new song within our being, a song of deliverance, a song that only the ransomed can sing. Oh yes, because, oh yes, we've experienced what it's like to be delivered, to be set free from sin, out of the bondage, the thing that had captivated our soul. Oh yes, we were all going towards hell. But praise the Lord, God had mercy on us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that horrible pit. And here, perhaps David was talking about a literal pit out of a miry clay pit. But praise the Lord, oh, we all were full of sin. We all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, praise the Lord. We all needed to be delivered, for the wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord that He brought us up out of the miry clay. And He set us upon the rock Christ Jesus. Oh yes, and He established our goings. So yes, we have a plan, we have a purpose. The Lord is with us to direct our steps and to establish our goings. We have been delivered from sin. We have been set free from that bondage. Oh, we don't have to be doomed for the lake of fire. Therefore, praise God. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. Oh, yes, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, that song of praise that He puts within us. Oh, the things that God has done that no one else could have done. Oh, and no one else could set us free from sin. There was no other solution. You might try to, you know, be good, to do your own thing. Oh yes, and try to, you know, help other people and you know, whatever comes to mind, to be honorable and to try to be kind and all of that. But you still need to give your sin over to the Lord. You still need to repent and give your life over to God so that He can set you free and deliver you from that bondage. He's the only one who can do it. Good works aren't going to save you. Oh no, it's going to take the Lord to deliver you and to set you free. Oh, won't you give Him your heart? Won't you turn your life over to the Lord Jesus? Oh, praise the Lord. His arms are stretched out to save if you only come to Him. Oh yes. Oh yes, because that day is coming when it will be too late. And oh yes, how we want to be able to stand on that day when our Lord comes back to judge this earth in righteousness. How we want to be right in the sight of God. Sin doesn't enter into heaven. But praise God, we can give our sin over to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive us. Oh, praise the Lord, we can go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. And yes, be promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. But oh, yes, that need to wait on the Lord. Oh, to be of good courage, knowing that He will strengthen our hearts. Praise the Lord, if we'll only wait, if we'll only linger, if we'll only expect, oh, if we'll only tarry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Acts, the 12th chapter here. In this chapter, we have an example of a people that were waiting upon God. And it tells us here in this 12th chapter, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church." Verse 2 tells us, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." Then were the days of unleavened bread. So here we have persecution entering into the church, the early Christian church. And, you know, here we have the first of the 12 who is martyred here, Herod, because, oh, you know, he... Obviously, he didn't respect life, for one thing, but, you know, he wanted to be friendly toward the Jewish people, and, he had taken James, the brother of John, and had killed him with a sword. And so, you know, he was on a roll, and, he went ahead to take Peter. Oh, my, if I can take James, I'm going to take Peter. So he must have thought. During these times of unleavened bread, time of the Passover, it tells us in verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So here he has Peter. He has Peter in prison. He's put him in prison, and there's four quaternions of soldiers charged to keep him, and that means that with each watch that there would be this foursome that would be guarding him, and two would be there right with him, because he was bound with chains, and he tells us a couple verses later he was sleeping between two soldiers, and he was bound with two chains, so there was that connection there, and you know, then the other two of this quaternium were in front of the door. So anyway, he's heavily guarded. And the plan here of Herod was, he's after Easter, and Easter in this case is pertaining to a pagan festivity in the spring that coincided close to the time of the resurrection, or at the Passover time quite often. Interesting, but you know, he was going to bring him. It was one of Herod's holidays. Easter, or, you know, accustomed to the dawn goddess Ishtar and whatever all here. But anyway, he was going to bring Peter out, he thought, at that point. But there was something greater than Herod ever imagined. And here tells us, verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Praise the Lord. Oh, here it was, the early Christian church, and here they were just beginning to face persecution, and they didn't know what to think. Already, James has been killed with a sword, and now they have Peter. They didn't know what was going to happen to Peter. But they gathered together, and they began to wait on God. Praise the Lord, there they gathered together, and it tells us that prayer was made without ceasing. Oh, for the church of God, on behalf of Peter, they were praying continuously, crying out to God, not knowing how God would answer or intervene in this situation. They were waiting on God. Oh, it's a time that we need to wait. I know before, oh yes, Donald Trump became president of this country. I think many of us felt, you know, oh, the great trouble that we were in as a nation, and you know how the polls were all projecting that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president, and oh my, what could we do? But praise the Lord, I know we had a prayer meeting, and I know other people had prayer meetings, and praise the Lord, God had mercy on us, and Hillary Clinton did not become president. But I'll tell you what, oh, there are still great problems, great needs in this country. And oh, if we ever needed to seek the Lord, oh my, we need to seek him now. We need to wait on him now. We need to cry out to him now. We need him like never before. We're seeing all the things that are written in the book of Revelation beginning to come to pass. Those things, oh yes. They're all part of the very end. Oh, yes, we know that it is time to look up for our redemption. Draw nigh as we see these things coming to pass. But oh, how we know we have need to cry out to God. And so it was the early church here. Peter was in prison. And most likely, they were going to kill him. So they must have thought. But they were praying without ceasing, continuously, that flow, those prayers, those petitions, those cries were going before God. Oh, yes, they were waiting on the Lord. And it says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So here he is, he's sleeping. It's the night before Herod was going to bring him out to kill him. And you know, Peter's sleeping. He's between two soldiers, he's bound with two chains, and there's keepers before the door. But there's nothing too hard for our God. Oh, we serve a mighty God. Oh, we serve a wonderful God. And this is how God intervened. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Oh my, those chains, oh, could no longer stay. Oh, praise the Lord. And as dark as it was in that dark, dingy place, oh, praise the Lord, oh, there was a light that came into the prison, oh, as the angel of the Lord came there, oh, and the glory of it came into that place. And yes, he hit Peter on the side to wake him up, and he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And those chains that had been binding him just fell off. Nothing too hard for our God. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Oh, put a belt around your garment and put on your sandals, in other words. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me, his outer garment. And he was told to put that on around about him and follow the angel. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And you know, Peter thought it was a dream. I mean, all these things were happening here. You know, he's been awakened, and you know, he's been told to gird himself and to put on his sandals and to put on his robe, his outer garment, and you know, then they begin to move, and you know, the chains fall off, and the doors open. And they go through the first ward, they go through the second ward. The iron gate opens up of its own accord, and now they're out in the street. And then suddenly the angel left. And, you know, suddenly Peter is realizing, hey, this is not a dream. This is not just a vision. This is reality. God has come. He's delivered me. He is setting me free. And when Peter was come to himself, verse 11, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wondrous moment. Oh, I'm set free. These chains are off. And this is real. I'm out of there. Everything, oh, it just happened. The Lord delivered me. The Lord set me free. And praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful moment. God can do that yet today. Oh, praise the Lord. And he is so great how he can deliver us from sin, those chains of sin that bind a person and, oh, make us a servant of sin. Praise the Lord. Those sins, those chains can be removed by the blood of Jesus Christ when we repent and give our lives over to the Lord, when we turn to the living God. Praise the Lord. Those chains fall off. Praise the Lord. The Lord delivers us for that bondage of sin. And so, yes, now realizing, oh, that he was really out of prison, and an angel had come and, oh, brought him out. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Oh, the Lord led them right to the place where they have in the prayer meeting. Oh, yes, where they were waiting upon the Lord. Praise the Lord, where they were gathered. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." Oh, you know, isn't it something? Here they were praying. Here they were waiting on the Lord. Here they were trusting for a miracle. And when it happened, it seemed so unreal that they couldn't fully embrace it at the first. It took them quite a bit to get to that place to realize, hey, this is real. But Peter continued knocking. He continued knocking, knocking, knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Praise the Lord. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Oh, God heard the cries of his people as they waited on him. Oh, yes, as they cried out to him, God heard those cries. And oh, he made a way of escape. Oh, yes, so that he was delivered out of the hand of Herod. Praise our God. Oh, the wondrous things that happen when we wait upon God. Oh, yes. When we bind ourselves together even, oh, with expectation and a cry that comes forth from the heart. Praise the Lord, a tarrying, a waiting for Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. There's another place I want to go. And this is the 10th chapter of Daniel. And it tells us that this event here happened in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And it must have happened that a thing was revealed unto Daniel. It says, "A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. But obviously, it must have been very heavy and difficult for him. And there were some answers that he needed. And what did Daniel do? It says, "In those days," verse 2, "I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Oh, there was something he needed from the Lord. He needed some answer. He was troubled inside. There was something that was so heavy and something he couldn't understand. He'd been shown certain things, but oh my, he needed some help. So he fasted, he prayed, he was waiting on God, in other words, 3 full weeks without food. And here it tells us in verse 4, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, also the Tigris River, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like a beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." Oh, God heard his cry, his need. Oh, and here, oh, he begins to see this certain man who is like unto the Son of God. I would say from the description, which compares to the description in Revelation, the first chapter. And it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Oh, this was so great. This was so something. And even to see, oh, this vision, you know, this certain man clothed in linen with, you know, this his loins girded with fine gold, and, you know, body, oh, it was like the burl. You know, you could see through it. It was clear, like a glass, a shining glass. And his face is a appearance of lightning. I mean, this is a striking, figure that he is seeing here. His eyes as lamps of fire, his arms, his feet like a color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Oh, such a voice that came forth, and there was a shaking with a great quaking, and all those that were with him down there by the river fled. It was so fearsome. It was so awesome. They didn't even see it, but they could hear. And, you know, or they could feel, actually. They could feel the quaking. And they fled. And here he was left alone. And, oh, this great vision. And it was so great that there was no strength remaining in him. He said, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Everything paled. And, oh, he had no strength of his own. Yet heard I the voice, the words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face. And my face toward the ground, oh, there he was. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder when the Lord touches us. Oh, praise the Lord. That touch of hope. Oh, that touch that comes from God when we get to, oh, sense his greatness and his power and his tremendous love for us. Oh, yes, and that wonderful price that he paid for us that we might have eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. The touch of our God. But, oh, here he was, oh, without any strength of his own, in a deep sleep. And oh my, that hand touched him, and oh, it set him upon his knees, upon the palms of his hands, and oh, said unto him, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Oh, praise the Lord, how the Lord hears. Oh, yes, how he comes. Oh, praise the Lord, it might not be instantly, but praise the Lord, what happens when we wait upon the Lord. Oh, Daniel was fasting in those 3 weeks. He was, oh, seeking the Lord. He was waiting on God. He didn't know what the answer would be or how God would respond. But now, he was told to fear not because all his words had been heard from the very first day that he had set his heart to understand and to chasten himself before his God. God had heard his words, and he'd come for his words. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you waited upon the Lord? Have you sought his face? Have you prayed until the answers come? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And he explains, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And again, when he had spoken such words unto me, and I believe many more words were uttered than were given here in this passage. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. It was so just striking. You know, he had, again, you know, the strength and you know, energy, and all his face was toward the ground. He couldn't even speak anymore. It was so much. It was so awesome, and what God was showing him and telling him. He tells us in verse 16, "And behold, one like unto the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord?" Oh, what he was seeing was so amazing, so awesome, oh, so unbelievable, so powerful. But how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? "For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." And then it tells us, "Then there came again, it touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." Oh, how wonderful it is when the Lord touches us. He gives us a strength that we could not have in ourselves. Oh, praise the Lord, he touched his mouth first. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, when God fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's like he touches our mouth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, he takes that unruly tongue, that those members that, oh yes, often speak forth in such degrading ways and say things that really aren't meant to be said. But, oh, God takes us, he touches that tongue, and oh, praise the Lord, begins to work in us, and bring forth of his Spirit, so that, oh yes, we begin to speak forth in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gives us the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. But here it was, this was so, beyond words to behold, that there was no strength remaining in Daniel. And praise the Lord, there appeared again one like the appearance of a man, that touched from God. Oh, God touched him and strengthened him and said, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong." And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Praise the Lord. And I don't know just all that was declared and told him, but praise the Lord, there was a strength that came from God that no man could give. Oh, it was at a time when Daniel had no strength of his own, no ability of his own, and except God had touched his tongue, he even went dumb, unable to speak. But oh, God came forth. Oh, yes, because he had waited on him. Oh, yes, he had yearned for the answers and for a response from Almighty God. And God knows how to come forth to those that wait upon him. Praise the Lord. Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Oh, praise the Lord, the kingdoms that would follow or prevail at the moment, and Greece would follow, and all that would come forth. Oh, yes, there's a lot that goes forth in the spirit realm. Oh, yes. And I'm sure if it was happening in the time of Daniel, it is happening in the time that we live today. Oh, yes, the things unseen. Oh, yes, the powers. Oh, yes, oh, the principalities and all the things. Oh, yes, that are going on in the spirit world. The chapter ends, verse 21. "But I will show thee which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Oh, praise the Lord. Michael, the archangel of God. Oh, yes, that also helped in this battle, whatever all was going on. But I see the wonder of it all. how God came to Daniel at such a moment when he was seeking his face and came to respond. And then when he had no strength of his own, oh, praise the Lord, how the Lord reached out to give him strength, to give him hope, to give him the answers. Oh, yes, to reveal to him the things that he needed yet to hear. Oh, praise the Lord. What happens when we wait upon the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. There is no limit to God's power, his ability, his authority, oh, his willingness. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is so willing to help us. Praise the Lord when we wait upon him. Praise the Lord. You know, about a week ago yesterday, I awakened about 5 o'clock in the morning and found myself in dire need of great help. I don't want to explain everything that happened. It's still a little bit confusing, I guess, in some ways. But anyway, I realized that I was in trouble, that I thought I was going to pass out, actually. I'd been in the bathroom, and it wasn't pretty. But anyway, there's a lot of things that I don't want to talk about that had happened. But praise the Lord, you know, God began to show me great things. This was really something, because I felt so weak that I really didn't know what to do. I even the thought of calling an ambulance crossed my mind. I really didn't know. I ended up calling Jade, and she said she'd come right away. And then I called Sam. I'd called Sam a little earlier, and he didn't hear that first call. But anyway, I called again, and this time Leah answered. And I asked if we could pray. And I just felt so weak at the first. You know, I just really knew I didn't have any strength. But what God began to do, it was so wonderful. Praise the Lord. I began to pray. Leah began to pray with me. And we began to pray, cry out to the Lord. And pretty soon I was crying out in other tongues. I don't know, you know, just all that was going on in the spiritual realm. But one thing I know, God began to give me a strength. He began to touch me. I could tell he was touching me. Oh my, I began to feel strength coming into my body. And praise the Lord, I just, you know, my voice became stronger. And I know Leah noted it too. And praise the Lord, I began to realize I could stand. And I could get dressed. And, you know, I could do what I needed to do. Praise the Lord, Jane came, and we did go to the ER because certain things that I needed to be checked, it seemed. But there was one thing I realized, that God had given me a strength. Oh, yes, so I could even walk down the steps and, oh, yes, put on my coat and go out to the car and all these things. And, you know, when we got to the hospital, I told them, you know, God has really helped me. Praise the Lord. And you know, they did. They did put me on an IV to dehydrate me, to hydrate me. And they also took some blood. But you know what? I told the doctor too. I don't know the whole story, but all I know is God has amazingly helped me. And I liked what the doctor said. He said, yes, God is there when we need him. I thought that was very precious. But, you know, they did the blood work. And praise the Lord, everything was good. Everything was fine. And praise the Lord, I was able to, you know, leave that hospital and go back home and do certain things that I needed to do. But for sure, I knew that there had been help from the Almighty God. Here I was in such a dire condition and just without any strength of my own and you know, not knowing exactly what was going on. But what a wonder it was when we begin to wait on the Lord, when we begin to call out, when we begin to cry out, oh, praise the Lord, I don't know all that he did. All I know is I begin to feel strength come back into my body. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how the Lord took over. Oh, God knows how. Yes, it's a wonderful thing when we are able to pray forth in other tongues and God makes intercession through those tongues, you know, not knowing how to pray and not even knowing how to think. Oh, God knows how to work through us. Praise the Lord and do the things that we couldn't even put in words, you know, would maybe even come to mind, you know, of things that we maybe have no knowledge of whatsoever. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be strengthened by our mighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to always be able to go before our God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And praise God. There is nothing too hard for our God. And that which he did in the past, he can do again. Our God is the same. His power is mighty to save, to help us, to intervene. Oh, yes, to heal us. Oh, yes, to bring forth those things that we have need of, the new car. Oh, maybe a new house or even a place to live. Or God knows things that have gone awry and the tremendous needs that we bring before the Lord. But wonderful things happen when we wait on God. He could give us a strength that we could never have of ourselves, just as he touched Daniel and gave him a strength so that he could stand forth. Oh, yes, so he could hear the words that were to be declared upon him. Oh, praise the Lord and receive that prophecy. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is wonderful. There is nothing too hard for our God. And oh, we are so privileged. Oh, we know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, yes, that need to wait upon God. Oh, yes, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, wait on the Lord. He has the answer to every need, to every problem. Oh, he can lift us up. He can pick us up. Oh, he can give us a strength. He can give us hope. He can save our souls. Oh, yes. Deliver us from the bondage of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you waited on the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. They waited on the Lord on the day of Pentecost. Oh, they were waiting on him. And oh, yes. Oh, the Holy Ghost fell. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as they spake with other tongues, as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Our God is the same, and what he has done in the past, he could do tonight. Praise the Lord. If you wait on him, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We have great hope in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is mighty to help us and to prevail, to give us hope, to change things that need to be changed. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you would work, oh, Lord, in the lives of these individuals, Lord, that you'd, oh, strengthen, oh, God, with your might from above. And, oh, God, I pray that you'd teach us how to wait upon thee. Oh, yes, to renew our strength so that we might mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, yes, and run and not be weary. Give us that kind of strength, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Teach us. Show us the plain path. Oh, God, lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise your name, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our chorus books in closing. We're going to turn to number 48 and sing They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.